News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
The US has carried out more strikes in Iran. Donald Trump now also threatening an expansion of attacks to bridges and power plants next week.
And then next week it gets really bad for them, because next week comes the power plants. Next week comes the bridges. We're going to knock out all their power plants. We're going to knock out all their bridges unless they get to the table and negotiate.
Donald Trump speaking on Fox News overnight. Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, joins us. First of all, to that threat, Paul, we're back into the war crimes territory, because attacking power plants and attacking bridges is an attack on civilian rather than military infrastructure and does little other than cause pain to the populace.
Yes, that's absolutely true. This isn't the first time that Trump has threatened this. He did it back in April. And in fact, if you go back to the sources then, the human rights chief Volker Türk responded at the time by saying, quote, under international law, deliberately attacking civilians and civilian infrastructure is a crime. It actually goes back to the 1949 Geneva Conventions on humanitarian conduct in war. So yes, clearly that would be a war crime. I think what it means is that, frankly, Trump and the Pentagon do not know what to do next, because essentially the original aim of the war, going right back to February the 28th, was to actually get rid of the regime. Well, in a sense, they got rid of the regime by killing the more theocratic elements. Well, what has happened, it's brought in, if anything, a more hardline regime, because the dominant group now is the Revolutionary Guard Corps. And the end result of that is they are determined to carry on, and they believe they can face down the United States and indeed Israel, which now, is a stunt. Sorry, go on.
No, I just wanted to ask on that, Paul, because as Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford, you obviously have been following this from the very initial early strikes. And as I understood it and as I read into it, the recent direction of travel was very much down the off-ramp. There was a sense that the US midterms were coming, that this was deeply unpopular in the States, and that there was an MOU in place, and that therefore there was enough of a fig leaf for there not to need to be a return to military action. How are we back off that off-ramp?
I think what you find in this sort of situation is the memorandum of understanding was couched in very general words, very general terms. So, you know, either side could stage a relatively minor incident and claim that it was within the MOU when probably it wasn't. And that has been happening. The point is that, you know, whatever happens at the sort of most senior level, people controlling things may not control things all the way down the line, both on the American side and certainly on the Iranian side. So in the end result is people slip things out and then it escalates. You know, if one side does something, another has to go a bit higher, then et cetera. It's basically, it goes entirely the wrong way. So yes, you're absolutely right. This should be an easier time, but it's not turning that way. What I think makes it more difficult is that one side in particular is feeling rather more confident than people expected, namely the ruling group in Tehran. And the other side, although it won't be admitted in public in the United States, is feeling very much more angry in a sense, or frustrated, I think would be the word. And that is certainly true of Trump. He thought this would all be over quickly. He's still very angry about the Israelis sort of ensuring him that it would work, and it hasn't worked. So what you see now is a frustrated Trump, who is also notoriously unpredictable. And this is what we're seeing. You know, one day he says we're going to erect sanctions, and next day he says we're not, and all the rest. And so under those circumstances, you would need an absolutely buttoned-down memorandum of understanding to keep things going. This doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to head back to a full-scale war, because neither the Iranians nor the Americans, for rather different reasons, want to go back to a full-scale war, because when push comes to shove, people behind the scenes in the United States, including some, you know, very experienced strategists, will simply say, you cannot win this, you've got to settle. But getting Trump to do that, because he's so unpredictable and so certain of his own position, is actually very difficult to do.
Can you try to unpack some of the recent unpredictability for us, Paul? Because yesterday, Donald Trump said that what he was going to do was that the Americans were going to force open the Straits of Hormuz militarily, blockade Iranian ports, and charge a 20% surcharge on any ships transiting through the state. Everybody looked at that and said, that's going to be quite the challenge. Today, all of that has been abandoned. And what we're now hearing is that billions and billions and billions of dollars will be invested by unnamed entities in the Middle East, and that that's what will fund the transit through the Strait of Hormuz. Does that make sense to you?
The latter makes sense, but I mean, the former does not. I mean, what Trump was proposing, and this is in one of his, what they're known in the trade as midnight tweets, he just went ahead and said, we are going to do this. Now, on the question of actually erecting some sort of charge, a 20% charge on the full value of the cargo, if the Americans were controlling the strait, then that, of course, would be a huge thing to do. But the significant thing is, as Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, said almost on the same day, you cannot, it is not right to make charges in these circumstances. He says there must be freedom of navigation very generally. And there, so you have the Secretary of State saying one thing, Trump saying another. And bit by bit, I think overnight, he sort of calms down a little bit. People rather gently try to say to him, you can't do this. And things sort of simmer down. It's a crazy way to run a country. It's an even more crazy way to run what is the world's most powerful military power. But that's where we are, and that's how you've got to try and handle it if you can.
A lot of text coming in on this one saying, bridges and power plants, Trump planning his war crimes in public again. Another, remember when threatening war crimes led to impeachment and removal from office? God, I missed those days. What about that in terms of congressional support and the American approval ratings and the American electorate? Do they care that the actions that he is proposing are a direct attack on the civilian population?
I think they are. They're certainly, I mean, there is less and less support for Trump in this war. And most significant of all, and something which is really causing great concern among the Netanyahu government over in Jerusalem, is that support for Israel is declining. We're now in a position where you'll find, on some opinion polls, the majority of Americans polled will actually be more supportive of the Palestinians than the Israelis. Now, that would be unthinkable for most of the last sort of 6 or 7 decades. And essentially, even though Israel still maintains the support of the Christian Zionists and other evangelicals, who are very significant in voting terms, the reality is that the support for Israel in the United States, let alone most other countries in the world, is actually dripping away. And that is one thing which I think the Israelis are very concerned about. So, yes, there is a change of mood in the United States, which is probably one of the most significant things that is happening, which makes it even more extraordinary that Trump is prepared to say these things within a few months of the midterm elections. It's difficult to make out what he is about, but what we do know is he is unpredictable and will ever be such as long as he's in office.
Paul Rogers, thank you very much. Paul Rogers there, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies in Bradford University. And what Paul was discussing was the implications of those overnight strikes in Iran and the promises of further strikes to come. And while we were talking, the Iranian state news agency has been reporting on the impact of those strikes. And what they are asserting is that more than 260 people in Iran have been injured in that latest round of strikes, 7 Iranian military personnel killed in the attacks and a number of others injured. And that is as per the Iranian state news agency. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.